thank you very much, Fats, for being here. You know, your full name, Makosini Reginald Ngwenya. You know, thank you very much for being here. Fats, I've known you for many years. You know, I've worked with you on some amazing projects. And you alone, I know you've also worked on some amazing projects for some of the top artists in Africa and also some of the top artists in the world, you know. I know for myself, you are literally one of the top sound techs in the world, you know, with no doubt, you know, based on the kind of jobs you get booked to do, based on the responsibilities that you get given on some of the biggest projects in the world, you know. So for me today, as I speak to you, I just really want to because what we're doing here is called Remember the Plug, powered by NSTAGES. And the goal is always to inspire people across Africa who work behind the scenes, who work in the media and entertainment space, you know, so that we can inspire them to do better, to do things at a higher level, you know. So again, Fats, you know, thank you very much. Welcome to Remember the Plug, hosted by Gear Split Beam, powered by NSTAGES. Thank you very much for coming through today.
Thank you, Remember, for having me.
Yeah.
I feel privileged to be sitting on this chair.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Cool. So for me, just to help set the stage, right? Just at the top of this conversation, I just want you to name three of the artists that you have worked on their shows on. I just want you to mention three international artists, and I want you to mention three African artists. Just mention, you know, yeah.
Am I allowed to say 10? 10?
No. I know you can
no,
do
joking. 10.
Yeah.
The list is very long. When it comes to Africa here at home,
yeah.
I've worked with Johnny Clark.
Yeah.
I've worked with Watershed most of the time.
Yeah,
I've spent a lot of time with them. I've worked with Yuma Sigela.
Yes.
I've worked with Jonas Kwangwa.
Yes.
Hot Sticks.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I've never had a chance to work with the likes of Brenda Fassie as one of the big... Yeah. Big musicians here in South Africa.
Got you. And then some of the international shows that you have worked on, what are some of those shows, international artists, where you were a sound technician on?
Recently, I did a show which involved Seal.
Yeah.
I'm talking about recent.
For me, you can even pick from like, From like all the time you've been.
Hey man, it's a long list,
and,
man.
And for me, I
they're
know.
They're here in my head, but
but
you know,
just pick three.
Kenny Latimore, I've
Kenny
worked
Latimore,
with.
Yeah.
Freddie Jackson, I've worked with. What's this guy? Babyface.
Babyface, yeah.
Angie Stone.
Jill Scott.
Lionel Richie. Hey, man, it's a long list, man.
Exactly, you know. And for me, the reason why I'm asking this is some people don't know who Fats is.
Yeah.
So when we mention these things, it helps to just prepare someone for some of the things you're going to be sharing today.
Yes.
You know, because at the end of the day, we'd want to inspire some of these sound technicians, sound engineers across Africa or anyone in any technical space in media or entertainment so that they can thrive to do things at a certain level of excellence and professionalism.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I just want you to tell me your name and tell me what you do.
As I've mentioned earlier, my name is Makosini Reginald Ngwenya, but everybody calls me Fats,
yeah.
You know, but I always like to introduce myself in my real name,
yeah.
You know, so that when we meet the next time, if you use my real name,
yeah.
Then I know that person knows me very well. But if you meet me in passing, it's easy for me to say Fats.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Fats is the trade name.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was in college, studying fitting and machining, of which I dropped out, you know, for some reason. The teacher that taught us fitting and machining asked us to write our names, yeah. full names and surname, and on in brackets, write your nickname. Gotcha. Because it's easy for everybody to get to know each other. You know, if you call somebody by their name, you touch them. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So, but mostly people call me Fats.
Got you. And for me, working with you, I know you are very particular about that, about your name and how it is expressed. So can you please tell me a bit about your childhood and then how you got involved in this technical industry?
Well, I was born and raised here in South Africa, Soweto, long ago.
Yeah.
Or say 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And something.
Yeah.
So, as I was growing up, I liked music. And I never thought that I will be, in fact, my dream was to be a top musician like Wako Jack or like Michael Jackson.
You? I never would have thought.
But now it was like a dream to me, you know. Yeah. But I said, no, one day I'll get there. But now, as you grow, now looking at other people around you, I think that's one of the mistakes that I made. But I don't regret, you know, once you make a mistake, you've got an opportunity to rectify it.
Yes,
you know
and
what I'm
learn
saying?
As well, yes.
So there's a brother of mine. I've got like three brothers.
Yeah.
One of them is like a mentor to me, you know, the way he does things, perfection, you know, top things. You know, he would like create something that you wouldn't think that could be done by him, you know. So I looked up to him, you know, most of the time, you know. So I liked the way he dressed.
Yes.
I liked the way he does his things, what he wants to study.
Yes.
Forgetting or not knowing that's a big mistake, you know.
Yeah.
You can like some of the things, but I cannot be remember.
Yes.
You know, maybe I can be like remember.
Yes.
But it has to be something that that's inside you, from your heart.
Gotcha.
You know, so I followed his footsteps,
yeah.
not knowing. Doing that, it's a big mistake. So he started fitting and machining, and he's very good,
yeah.
you know, in what he studied, you know what I'm saying? So only to find out when I was, like, in class doing that, I'm looking at outside the window.
Yeah.
Not literally looking outside the window, but seeing something that's inside me.
Yeah.
That is music.
Yes.
And believe me, I've tried music, you know, but not like being like playing a musical instrument, but being a performer, like during the days of Kwaito.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I liked it, and I was around people who did Kwaito, and I've worked with them, you know, like trying to get myself into that scene, you know what I'm saying? But also I realized that that's not for me, you know.
Gotcha.
Then, I was introduced to a association called SARA, South African Roadies Association.
Got you.
So when we're talking about SARA, we're talking about the association, an association with which opened doors to most black South Africans here in South Africa who are big now.
Got you.
You know, the plan for SARA was to get people to learn about the industry.
Basically, entertainment industry.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Basically, like live entertainment.
Gotcha.
You know, part of it, you know. Why he did that, because that guy, his name, by the way, is Freddie Nyathela.
Okay.
Everybody who knows Freddie Nyathela knows what he did, you know, to the industry.
Yeah.
So, during that time of apartheid, you know, the opportunities were not the same, you know, for...
So basically what it then did was basically offer a platform to basically
make sure that
the skills,
we get what the other race is getting. Because there was now, like discrimination, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So now on that, in your class, in SARA, like that class of yours, just out of interest, all the guys that you were with, how many are still in the industry right now that you studied with that you learned with in the
A lot, bro.
Okay.
A lot. Some of them who were inside Sarah, I didn't even know about it, about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of them are outside as we speak.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Outside Africa.
Outside this room.
Oh, okay, got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's guys who come to me, call me by the name, and then call me about days where we did this and that. I'm like, where were you? I'm like, oh, he says, I was in the group, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So Sarah played a big role, you know. Without Sarah, I wouldn't be here, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so for me as well, what I also just wanna also just get is, like, in your class, was it like a class of 20, class of 10? How did it work then?
Okay, the way things worked in Sarah,
so basically offices, in your class, yeah.
Yeah, the offices were in Newtown. Sarah moved from one building to another, you know. So it wasn't like a formal class,
gotcha.
You know. It was like we would go there every morning. And
how
then,
many were you? Like the
one we were like maybe more than 50 or, you know.
So for me, of these 50 people, because for me, I'm interested on the 50 people that you knew.
In that particular...
That you were with, yes. Those are the ones that I want to talk about. Because I want people that were the 50 people, guys that you were going with every day, whenever you were going there. So those guys, if you remember any of those guys, I want to know, where are those guys? Because for me, what I'm just trying to trace here is... if you had some people and you were attending the same class, and some of those people were left behind, and some of those people excelled, I just want to know, you know, what are those numbers? You know, is it like if there were 50 people, if there were 50 of you, did 10 excel and 40 didn't? Did 20 excel? Did 10 didn't? You know, I just want to find from what you see. With now over time.
Okay, let me just quickly explain. If I say 50,
yes,
it's not like a class with 50 people and those people, they would learn for a certain period till they graduate. It's like 50 people in a room today.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, or maybe after 3 days, you won't see...
The same 50.
The same 50, you know. Got maybe... You. 10 is not there or 20, but there's another group,
gotcha.
You know. Sometimes it's even more. Gotcha. Even if you can go to Sarah now, you'll find that in a building, there's like almost 90 people.
So now,
others are doing something else. They're organizing to do this that.
So for me, because this conversation is about you, I want to avoid, you know, getting into that whole structure. So for me, I want more to know your journey. I want more to know if there were 50 people in that class. When you came at that time, there were different 50 people. But were you the guy who was in those classes all the time? That's what I want to get here. Or were you also the people that you went to a class today and then you then went after 3 months? That's what I want to get. Because from this conversation, all we're trying to do is we're trying to trace the footsteps of FETS. Of FETS, how you got into Sarah, how you learned from there. And how does all of these things lead up to FETS today, whatever years after?
Okay.
So for me, it's more of, so you went there and there were other people that also went there. And maybe some of those people, they are not there anymore for whatever reason in the industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just for me to trace your footsteps. So when you went to Sarah, like the first day you went to Sarah, for example, and the other guys who went there the first day, you know, so for me, it's some of those people that were going there that you saw in that time, right? How many of those have continued further and how many of those have not continued? And this can be people that you saw at Sarah, this can be people you met at different events, people that you work with, people who have excelled and some people who haven't excelled. Because in this industry, there are people like you. The people know if they call FETS to go work on an international job, it doesn't matter what artist, they know FETS is going to have it sorted. But it's not like that with everyone.
Yeah.
And these same people, you could have been sitting with them in the same class. You could have been attending the same things. But now, the question is what then made FETS different from the other ones? Because if you can help see in this conversation what made that difference, then we can help also map something for someone who wants to start today to get into this industry so that they can also get to a place when if they are called for any international artists, they are also able to deliver with the same excellence and with the same professionalism like Fats.
Yeah.
So for me, looking at your journey, let's start off from Sarah, for example, right? With some of the people that you were with, you know, from what you observe, how many people today are still in the industry and they're still very active?
Tricky question, but yeah. I'll be specific and brief.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I'll start explaining before I got into SARA.
Yeah? Got you. Yeah.
The reason why I got into SARA is because I liked, you know, the entertainment industry. And I already knew then, before making those mistakes that I made, you know, during trying to study and all those things. Before I went to SARA, I had a job organized by my brother, doing what I was supposed to study and graduate.
Yeah.
And then I quit that job,
fitting
and machining. I was a machine operator.
Got you.
So now the idea was to, since I dropped out of school, the idea was to get a job, get money, be able to provide for myself, because I was getting old, like not like old, you know. Get a job, get money, carry on with my studies as a fitter. But along down the road, I realized that, no, this thing is not in me, you know. I'm always looking at the window, but there were no windows there because of the factory. So I told my brother and my boss that, you know what, guys, I mean, you can't do something that's not in your heart, you know, because you won't excel. You'll always make mistakes and you feel bad about it. So there's going to be a lot of things coming to you, negative things.
Yeah.
So I told my brother that there's a friend of mine who met somebody. No, there was a friend of mine who was who worked at the hair salon doing hair. So there was this woman who was telling a story about the entertainment industry, you know, while my friend was doing her hair. And then she told my friend about SARA. And then my friend asked details about SARA. And then that woman told my friend that, no, man, you can just go there, pay a certain amount of money, get a joining fee, and then you'll go into classes, but it's not like a formal thing, you know.
Gotcha.
They get you, they introduce you to the industry, you get work experience. Mainly in SARA, you get work experience, you know. Like there was sometimes internship organized, you know, but there was a criteria to your performance.
Gotcha.
You qualify to get an internship, you know.
Yeah.
But mostly it was work experience, like to be like a runner on shows, if like Crusaders, you know, companies like those.
Yeah.
SARA, it was sort of like, but mostly providing roadies. But now before you go and work on events or shows, they have to like train you, introduce you, give you basic theory about the industry. But the most important thing that they were doing, they were like, training you, changing your attitude about the industry.
Gotcha.
The way you dress.
Yes.
The way you speak.
Mm-hmm.
The way you approach things.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I remember, which I don't see it these days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's important.
Yeah, when you get there on gigs, I remember the first event that I did with companies like Gearhouse, it was a Walmart festival.
So did SARA get you into Gearhouse?
Yes, they used to. Okay. You know, that's what Freddie did. He used to make sure that big concert, real concert, or whatever production, if there's a big event, SARA must be involved.
Gotcha.
So that these young kids from the streets of the township get exposed. Because they love the industry, but can't afford to go to school and study sound engineering or whatsoever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the only ones who could make it are the ones who worked hard. You know what I'm saying? And those are the guys that you can rely on today. Those are the guys that you still see in the industry today.
Got you. You know? And for me, What do you think makes the difference between those guys who work hard and those guys who appear not to work hard? What do you think makes that difference in people?
I think my personal opinion is, if you go and approach something, just because if you are around that thing, you get a certain image. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, if you say sound engineer or a doctor,
yeah,
you'll never see somebody who spends time with a doctor and then the next thing they claim to be doctors.
Yes. Yes.
But in this industry,
yeah,
if you are around whoever is big in the industry, mm, you know, you get that image. You know what, yes, I'm saying? People, yes, will think, yes, that, hey, this one,
he's killing it.
He's killing it,
yes,
only to find out, you know,
he's not.
Yeah. So if you're around, like myself, I was around mostly good engineers and technicians. Yes. First thing I learned from them is their attitude, the way they approach things,
yes,
the way they do things. You know what I'm saying? That makes them, you know, who they are. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So when I started, I didn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm making a lot of money.
But before we get there, I just wanted you to answer why the other guys work hard and the other guys...
Because they want to be there in terms of achieving what the top engineers are.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So it's like a desire, it's like an aspiration. Yes. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Not just to be behind the desk. You know what I'm saying?
And look nice.
And look nice behind the desk for people to see, oh, you're an engineer, and then you used to be, you know what I'm saying?
That would be
me, I'm scared of doing that.
Yes.
Because if somebody would say, press that button and then make some magic, yes, I won't be able to. Yes. But if you call me,
yes,
and ask me to do what I am good at,
yes, you do
with
it.
Pleasure, exactly, anytime.
Yeah. So now I want you to also just to clarify for some people who do not know what is a sound technician and what they do at events. Can you please just explain?
I'm not sure if I'm going to answer this one correctly, but according to my understanding, if you are an engineer, which means you know what the technician knows,
yes,
and know the ins and outs of whatever you are dealing with,
yes,
and the technician knows what the engineer knows, but his task is to, I think, prepare for the engineer, you know.
Got you.
You understand?
And I think also technicians, they literally, it's like the foundation. It's like if you're building a house, it's like the foundation. It's like,
yes,
they know where all the bricks of the foundation are. They know how the concrete is mixed and the ratios of the stones, the everything. It's like they understand. Because I've seen some people can be amazing sound engineers, but if they get to a place where they don't have strong technicians, the whole show, it's a mess. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
how good they are.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I think it works properly or well if it's like that, you know. Because can you imagine if you are a doctor without a nurse?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how I can put it, you know. To have good technicians, I can't remember which engineer for which band from the States. Mm. That engineer says he's been traveling all over the world.
Mm.
So what he does, he makes friends with technicians, local technicians. So once you do that, everything, you know, you don't want to make the technicians feel uncomfortable that they have to give you what you want and then walk away.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Each time when you need something, you have to look for them. You know what I'm saying? You must make them feel comfortable,
yes,
you know. And as a technician, I know if you are an engineer that communicates well, good attitude, I'm always willing to help.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I can even get you a cup of coffee, you
exactly
know what I'm saying? Or
yeah,
get you water without you asking, organize everything for you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because I look up to you,
yes,
and you appreciate what I'm doing. You know what I'm,
yes,
saying? That makes me happy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And also, especially when you're working on big productions, there are so many elements.
Yes.
There is the PA, there is the amplifiers, there is the rigging, there is the radio mics, there is the comms, there is the stage patching, there is the in-ear. It's just a lot of things. And
so you don't want to have unnecessary stress, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you must enjoy.
Yes. No. And yeah, no, perfect. So I just want you to tell me, why do you love what you do? You know, I'm like, why have you stayed this long doing this, being in this space, and you haven't moved out to other spaces?
You know, as I've said earlier, if you love something, it's not easy to let it go, even if it makes you hungry or even if it makes you tired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So imagine if you lose something that you love, you know, it breaks something inside you, yeah. You know. And funny, I haven't found what I'm looking for. I haven't reached where I want to be.
Yes. And for me, Fitz, at a personal level, from working with you, you're like one of the most very detailed people. It is a joy to work with you. It is a joy like when you're doing something, you do it very well, like
thank you, beyond
expectations. And I know anyone who works with you from any part of the world, they get the same thing. You know, it's like when you show up, you give your best 400%, you know, and people know they've got peace of mind that everything is going to go well. Because Fitz, whatever you're supposed to do, you would do it and you would do it well. So Fitz, can you please tell me some of your three most memorable shows that you ever worked on? Three of your most memorable shows.
I can't tell, my man.
I know.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing. I once had an opportunity in life.
Yeah.
And I grabbed it with both hands. I once worked with one of the rock bands, local rock bands here in South Africa. You know, I thought I wasn't going to make it. But the opportunity that I got and the way I worked with them, you know, I can't even forget, you know, the moments, you know what I'm saying? Because even I wasn't sure. I mean, I couldn't believe that it's me who is, you know.
Yes.
I mean, the South African band, big, you know, mm-hmm. It's not like I'm talking about you two, but to me it was something big because I felt very important because I was important, you know, to those guys that I was working with, you know, because they showed me that, hey, what you're doing, my man, is very, very, very important. Keep it up. Yeah. So that's what inspired me into making sure that what you do, you must make sure that you do it properly so that tomorrow when you think about it, you smile.
Good.
You know what I'm saying?
And then, Fitz, why do you think most people prefer you? Why do you think most people like you to book you to do jobs for them? Why do you think that is that?
I think it's the way I do the job that I do. You know what I'm saying? I don't complain too much, even if I have to complain, but I make sure that I achieve my goal and then complain after. You know what I'm saying? And I like to communicate with people, and that helps also. Communication helps because you can raise things that no one was aware of, even yourself, you know what I'm saying? I don't just go do a job, even if I see that this job, the way we're doing it, it's not gonna work, but just because I'm getting paid. So basically, I don't do a job for the sake of money. Yes. I do a job to achieve the goal and get paid.
Gotcha. Yeah. And for some people who are just wanting to get into this industry, you know, what would be your advice to them?
If you are a young person out there, have an opportunity to study for this job, go study and then work hard.
Gotcha.
But if we are someone who is unprivileged, you know, who's not privileged, work hard. Stay close to relevant people, you know what I'm saying, and work hard.
Yeah, and there's something about this industry that most people don't know. It's like if you go and knock at a company that is like a technical company, if you say, I'm available to come help every week, whether it's to clean equipment or pack equipment, companies are more open in any part of the world. You know,
what I did. So when I was at SARA, I got introduced to like few companies, namely ProSound and Gearhouse.
Yes.
Then I got this guy called Mandla, who made sure that I get this opportunity because he saw that I'm hungry for this knowledge.
Gotcha.
I did a show with him for like a month, like a government show.
Yeah.
For like a month. It was Arts Alive month and stuff like that.
Yes.
So when I did that show with him, he saw that I was hungry. And then he said to me, you know what? If you're clever, come around the workshop if you're not busy. You know, greet everybody, give a hand and stuff like that. You know, the big bosses will notice you. And then each time when they need a casual, they will book you.
Yeah.
Then I did that. But it wasn't easy, my friend.
Yes.
I had to fight.
Yes.
I won't mention names.
Yes.
But there was a gentleman there. I don't know how was he thinking, but we ended up being friends. So if the bosses come to him and say, who is that guy? Instead of putting, you know,
a good word
for me, so no, this one, he said, no, this one is from SARA.
Yes.
Okay. And there was this thing between companies and SARA.
Got you.
You know. Everybody wanted to stay away from SARA because SARA always...
Yeah, but for me, I don't want to get into that because it's about you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so since they knew that I was from SARA, so they would like, ish. Then I went to the big boss, one of the big boss, and said, you know what? I'm coming here to get knowledge. I went to SARA to get knowledge.
Yes.
So SARA won't have a problem if they know that I'm spending time here to get knowledge because the idea about SARA is to get knowledge and bring it to the association and share it with the group.
Perfect.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I used to be chased away.
Gotcha.
But not in a bad way.
Yes.
That we don't want trouble.
Yes.
Go so that we want a letter from SARA, that's all and so. And then I went and spoke to the president and said, hey, I'm spending time there. If you need me, give me a ring, then I'll come and help. If they're not, if I don't want to go there, I'll come to the SARA office and then help. But eventually, when time goes, they saw the necessity of having me around. You know what I'm saying? I got my driver's license as something that is a tool to be employed in that company.
Okay. Yes.
Because if they send me to do a job with two speakers and six table mics, then I can drive.
Yes.
Myself, set up, come back with the gear. That was one of the things that I used. And I was told by one of the employees that if you can do this, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
So I started like low at ProSound and then worked there for like maybe 3-4 years. And then I was hungry for a company that, because ProSound is a very big company. It manufactures speakers. It sells gear, it does installations, it used to do rental, but the equipment that they had was limited. They didn't need to get more gear so that every company can come to them. They had their market, that is corporate and stuff. So I wanted to go more into concerts now.
Gotcha.
So that's when I joined Sound Stylist.
Gotcha.
And then...
And I think there one of the key things to take from there is really... the ability of just getting into a company, starting from there, you know, other people will start noticing you and you speak to the right people and then you then grow up the ranks. And for me, I think just from that, it is something that someone out there across Africa who plans to get into this industry, they can look at that as one of their tools in their arsenal to say, you know what, if you want to get into this space, one of the ways is knock at some doors, see if you can help. You know, help. Yeah, it won't be easy. It will be hard. Some people may not like you for whatever reasons. Because I remember for me, when I started working for Oliver Mtukudzi, something happened and I was even told I cannot come anymore to do the shows. But I still pursued and I went to see the head, you know, and had conversations with them. And then they made me come back in and I continued. So the journey is not easy. But the key thing is starting, and also from what you're saying, the love and the passion for the industry to also help push you more, you know. So, Fets, thank you very much for taking this time to come through to Remember the Plug, hosted by Girl Split Beam, powered by Insurgis. I really appreciate it. I really look forward to have more and more conversations with you, just to continue inspiring people in the entertainment industry, more specifically sound engineers and sound technicians, so that the standard of excellence in Africa and professionalism can go up and even higher. Because if there are many FETs across Africa, it means our production level in Africa will also go to higher levels. And that would be great. I can't wait to see that come to be. So thank you very much, Fets. I don't know, Fets, if you have any last words to just say to the guys out here in Africa. Any last words?
I have a lot to say, but I'll say one or two. Whenever you do something, when it comes to technical, you know, entertainment, technical, you know, just make sure that what you do, you put more effort, you plan properly, and be serious about it, you know, because at the end of the day, once you do something that is not looking good, that's your name, you know, that's going to be tarnished, if I may put it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So make sure that when you do something, you do for the love of it. If you love something, you make sure that it looks nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So be dedicated, be passionate, and always be helpful. Communicate. Everything will, you know. Don't do a job for the sake. We all need money. But it's pointless if you're going to do a job and get money, and then the next thing, for the next 3 months, you won't be able to get an opportunity to make money because you didn't do a one good job. You know what I'm saying? And then you lose, like, 10 jobs, but always, people will always come back to you, you know, because they need your help, but they'll come back to you because they are desperate. You know, people are willing to pay any amount of money if they know that they're going to get good service.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah. And for that, Fitz, I thank you.
Sure. You're welcome, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Cool.
Sure.